Okay, three questions. One, what is meant by releasing the mind? This is I think from the Anapanasati Sutta, I think there's some copies of it have been put up and it's starting to circulate. What is meant by releasing the mind? Are releasing it from any hindrance? Can you please illustrate with examples? In this sense, you know, well, also, you know, sometimes the you know, the Buddha's use of language was incredibly precise, and sometimes there's, you know, layers of interpretation that can be applied to it. In this sense, usually what is meant by releasing the mind is more the releasing in terms of hindrances and obstacles to, say, to concentration, to clarity, to stillness, as opposed to releasing the mind in full, complete enlightenment. Although it could, one could interpret it there because the word has both those meanings. Vimocha yang has both those meanings, but generally how it's interpreted is the releasing of hindrances or obstacles, so that anything that creates agitation in the mind or a ripples in the mind, because it's it's preceded by the step of concentrating the mind, samodha yang, so that's establishing samadhi. And then the next step is releasing the mind, so that it's sort of, okay, if there's still any hindrances coming up, still any agitation, still any obstacle, and it could be some. At this point, it's more subtle, especially at the you know, in the progression or the assumed progression of this discourse. A lot of the coarser hindrances and defilements are released or let go of, dealt with at the point of the at the body, bodily settling, establishing a continuity of attention, awareness, a modicum or fair establishing of concentration or samadhi at that point. But then, you know, you're still working with refinements and working with the, you know, what the mind throws up, so that attending to the more subtle manifestations of, say, of hindrances, and you know, just something, or if it is coarse, and maybe one wants to release the mind from that as well. So if it's, you know, some just, but usually it's more around more subtle aspects of maybe some irritation or some kind of restlessness, or some kind of wavering in the mind, so that tends to be able to be settled at that point. And because the mind is, at that point, is, say, in the progression of the sutta, the mind is preparing for insight and penetrative insight. The second question, how is calming mental fabrication different from releasing the mind? Any examples to illustrate? Well, calming mental fabrication is the calming of a feeling and perception, the more like the roots of the a movement of the mind, the associative qualities. And it's, I think it's, there's probably not not necessarily a huge difference between the two, but I think the calming the mental fabrications is a bit more primary, in the sense of really understanding the process of how the mind starts moving, and how feeling and perception hold sway over the mind, so that releasing the mind is probably a bit more working with more subtle aspects of the mind, and that calming the mental fabrications is finding ways to settle, calm, and understanding that process of how the mind is, that movement of mind is built. What's the engine that drives it? And then the last one, when mental fabrication cause a bodily or verbal fabrication, such as anxiety or sensual desire, is it too late to breathe and calm fabrications? Not at all. It's always never too late to breathe. So always coming back to the breath is such a it's kind of like a relief, an anchor. It's you're back to an old friend, and it's like home territory, and so rather than being dragged off with the kind of the various fabrications and complications and proliferations that the mind can spin out. Okay, and it comes back to that anchor of the breath. And so, wow, what a relief.